Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. And we've got a couple of hours full up, certainly the first hour. Pardon me. We've got Anchor, and we have Anchor in from time to time, but it's a very special week this week, and we're going to be talking to Heidi, and then we're going to follow that up. We've got a couple of other guest speakers that are down at this luncheon today, and then, of course, between 1 and 2, we'll have our private investigator, P.I. Pete. First of all, I'd like to say hello to Heidi from Anchor. Heidi, how are you?
Good, thank you, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, first of all, I've got to say I saw a photo of you the other day on Parliament House steps there.
Yes.
Talking about homelessness. This is not a political show, and I don't want to get involved in politics anyway, so I'm not talking about either side of politics here. Do you think at last that the politicians are starting to understand how big the problem is?
Look, I think so, Alan. Yes, I think so. And I think they are, because the problem of unstable, insecure housing and homelessness is spreading. Spreading a bit like a virus, really. So we're now seeing people in employment who are now coming into homelessness. Absolutely. So the last, I'm going to say up to 12 months, we've had people come in who have been renting for, you know, maybe quite some time. Either the rental increases have pushed them out and they can't afford it anymore, even if they're on a, you know, on a wage. Yep. Or their landlord is selling up and you know, they're unable to go and get, you know, another rental because they just can't afford it. So I think the politicians are starting to take notice when it starts having a much more broad effect across their community. Look, I think the frustration on both sides of Parliament from, as in my conversations last week, people would have heard in the media that there's been some, you know, a lot of money, billions of dollars, that has been announced from both state government and federal government for building more social homes. But I think if anyone's ever had the experience of building their own home, they'd have some appreciation about how long that takes.
It's not going to be built in 5 minutes, is it?
No, and I think that's where everyone's getting frustrated, feeling that the crisis is now a disaster, because, you know, people are doing as quick as they can, but, you know, building housing is actually a bit of a long-term proposition. So I think we're at a really very difficult time in history, in that the governments have recognised that what will assist in homelessness and, in fact, to stabilise our housing crisis is more houses, and they're trying to do that in different ways, but it is this long-termism of building that sort of gets in the way. So look, I would say absolutely the politicians are very, very kind about it, very, very concerned. I've had conversations with local members, whether that be up at Bridget Valance or Danielle Di Natale up at up at Mombolk, wherever that might be, or even Aaron Bioli, they all say to me, what are we going to do about homelessness? I'm really worried about it. People are coming into my office and they're saying, I don't have a home, or I'm going to get thrown out of a home. What am I going to do? You've got to help me, you're the government. And, you know, they don't have any houses in their back pocket. So they're really feeling it. I know Daniela up in Mombok is very concerned about her community, where a lot of people have lived for a long time. So a lot of people, as you probably know, went up to the Dandenongs many, many, probably in the 70s and 80s, yep. Settled up there. They've had this life that they wanted, and they've rented houses and so forth. Now they're ageing. And what Danielle is talking about is the desperation of people to want to age in place.
Yep.
So, you know, these people, the rents and things have gone up in the area so much it's out of their league, and they're feeling, you know, they're getting displaced. And so different politicians are worried about different things depending on what's in their community. Yeah.
And the other thing, Heidi, I was reading in the paper the other day that they reckon we haven't hit the peak yet, that there is still more homelessness to come.
Look, I think that's right. I think that the cost of living pressures are not abating at all. I think everybody feels that way. Look, we've held on interest rates this month, which means that perhaps less landlords might sell up and people have to leave. So, you know, maybe that is quite right. I guess, though, that it's really difficult because this is a long-term problem. And I guess what we try to turn our attention to whenever we can is what's happening today. So what today is about really is about throwing a bit of a party for homeless people, people without a home, people that we've seen recently, to try and make them feel like they're cared for. So, you know, we can talk about things into the future, but there is an immediate issue. And I think what's really perplexing the sector and myself really is the numbers of children and young people that are in homelessness. Mm-hmm. And I think the paper or the media came out the other day, and I don't doubt it, that the Western Melbourne, you know, Western Melbourne and outer Western Melbourne, is got the highest rate of homelessness of young people in Australia.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Well, we just have to sort of think to ourselves what's going on, and so I think, you know, for us, we are really trying to change the trajectories with our particularly young people, so that the thing that we know about homelessness is that once people become homeless, they start to lose many other things about themselves. They often lose a job, they lose their dignity, they lose their hope. You know, maybe they stop feeding themselves so well, so their health declines. Yep. So we know that once you get into homelessness, it's a very slippery slope down to the bottom. And so we're concentrating very much on young people that, you know, is to get them through the homelessness and back out again and into some hope. And we do that via our youth foyer, which is here in Lilydale. And we also are really in our housing services there up there at the TAFE. We're concentrating. A young person comes in, it's all out. You know, it's all on. Let's get them out of this mess straight away.
Sorry, Heidi, I've got to take a quick break.
Yeah, sure.
But I am keen then, I've been a bit on the negative side. I'd really like to get on to what we're doing towards in the community. So I'll just take this quick break and we'll be back.
Yep.
Gets restless, time to move along. When your heart gets weary, time to sing a song. But when a dream is calling you, there's just one thing that you can do. Well, you gotta follow that dream wherever that dream may lead. You gotta follow that dream to find the love you need. Keep on moving. Gotta find me someone whose heart is free. Someone to look for my dream with me. And when I find her, I may find out just what my dreams are all about.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. Yarra Valley FM 99.1, baby.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where it's 20 past 12 and 16 degrees. I'm talking to Heidi, and she's the CEO down there at Anchor. Heidi, we've talked about the problem, but I'd like to sort of maybe get a bit more positive now and find out sort of what progress is being made towards. And it's not going to be cured in 5 minutes, obviously.
Look, every day I hear of different building projects that are started, that are on their way. And in fact, we had a couple of completed projects, social housing projects, one at Croydon in particular. Now that had over 100 units, and so that actually gave accommodation in the last 6 months to over 100 different households. Oh, great. So that's positive. And that, I mean, we we really noticed the effects. So that actually took a whole lot of people off our books and got them housed. So that was really, you know, we really celebrated that. And so it proves to us that, you know, as a project comes online, you know, things do improve and it gives people hope. So you know, that's, I think the projects are on the go, that, you know, they're getting there. I think the other thing that you know, really does, and you know, the Houses of Parliament and in fact the event today, which Anchor is hosting with the Yarra Rangers Housing Action Group, Kate Coleman and Holy Fools, Neil Taylor, who's very well known to your listeners, I'm sure.
Yep.
We're working together. I think that what we're seeing in the sector is some really close partnerships developing to actually solve the issues, make sure that people who are without a home are cared for. And I'm seeing, you know, less competitiveness amongst, you know, services and things. People are working together, putting their energies together, which is the only way we're all going to solve homelessness, if we all play a role. And that's not just the services in the sector, that's everybody. And I was reminded going to a networking event with some not important people, but business owners in South Yarra. And one person said to me, you know what, why don't we know about these issues? Yeah, why don't we know? True. And she said, you don't talk about them. You don't get it out. You talk amongst yourselves, but you don't talk to us. You don't talk to the community. And I think that was a great reflection, a positive reflection. If you talk to the community care. The community will help you wherever they can. Tell us what you need. Yep. Talk to us. Don't just talk to yourselves and wring your hands. You know, talk to the rest of us.
And don't duplicate what each other are doing.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. Save where we can. So we've been really blessed today. The Yarra Rangers Council have given us, a little bit of money to run this today. It means that we've, you know, got a really nice catered lunch for people that can just drop in just under the trees out here. And it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling and it's a real feeling. We're not standing in an office somewhere sort of just talking to each other. We're talking to people without a home, people in the community that are concerned, et cetera. So I think it's a really positive move is to dispel some of the myths. The people that are without a home, it's not their fault. Didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to get
here. A few years ago, that was the sort of thing that people thought, they're just... Yeah. You know, it's their own fault. They could get a job and they won't. But hopefully that's all changing.
Look, I think it is slowly, but we can, you know, the sector can do more. We can do more to educate people and, you know, to really understand what actually, you know, occurs in homelessness and in fact what we, you know, what we try to do to care for people. And that's where I sort of circle back around, I have to say, to the program that we're piloting at the moment, which is directly talking to the children that are in homelessness without their parents being in earshot, because they often don't like to say too much because they love their parents and they don't blame their parents, but they're suffering.
Yep.
And what we know overseas is that 50% of people that are homeless in adulthood were also homeless in childhood.
So it's a sort of generational thing.
Yes, definitely it is. There's an absolute generational component. And we can all make judgment of that, but that's the reality. So we need to, you know, intervene with these kids now to give them hope, to give, you know, make sure they're connected in, make sure they're keeping going to school, make sure they have hope and dignity. And I think, you know, then they can grow up with a sense of, right, you know, I'm going to make myself secure enough so that doesn't happen to me again. And, you know, interesting one, a woman we've been talking to a lot who had a long experience of homelessness with her children, and she had an experience of homelessness herself as a child. She says children are invisible in the homelessness sector and they need to get visible. We need to ask them, how are you?
I don't want to be cynical, but I also don't vote.
That's a sad, but you know, it's
a
sad thing,
I mean, that's a sad reality. I mean, I make a joke, but it's the truth.
Yeah. They're our future, though. They're our future. Alan, you know, you and I are not getting any younger.
Thanks, Heidi.
So we can't afford for any of these young folk with the, you know, dropping birth rates and things, things like that. We can't let any young person not launch into their adulthood in a positive manner.
Besides, it's not their fault. I mean,
why should
their future be ruined just because something had happened with their parents? They shouldn't. Every child should start off on an equal playing field.
Absolutely. So I would say, in summary, you know, working together is really important. Community education, dispelling myths and decreasing stigma, and getting people to understand everyone's journey into homelessness is absolutely individual. And you can't just say, well, it was this or it was that. It's very complex. It's a very complex area. And as I say, no one chooses it. No. So...
Heidi, I have to take a quick break. I'm hoping that maybe next week I'll talk to Neil.
Okay. Yes, I will go and usher him over to us. I'm over the road because the generator he's using is
making some noise. All right, I'll be back in about 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Now, here's a name and a voice that I'm sure is very well known to a lot of the listeners of Yarra Valley FM, and it's Neil Taylor. And Neil used to be part of the team here and used to do a show, I think, on a Monday. Anyway, Neil's Taylor is with the Holy Foods. Oh, Holy Fools. I've got to ask him why that name is. But anyway, they're also doing a homeless drop-in centre, which we want to hear about. Welcome, Neil.
Thanks, mate. How you doing, Alan?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself? Neil, just quickly, why the name Holy Fools? I can understand the holy bit, but why the fools?
Oh, it's a term from the early church that used to describe people like St. Francis of Assisi, who, I don't know if you know the story of him, he gave away all of his possessions and started feeding the poor.
Yep.
And then another example is a guy called Basil in Russia, who used to run around naked and throw stones at people going to church saying feed the poor. He was considered a holy fool, but he had such an impact on the community that when he died, the Tsar was one of his pallbearers. And if you go to St. Petersburg now, the St. Basil's Basilica is named after him. So a holy fool was always the sort of the radical people who are helping the community. Yes.
That's how you say. Neil, just before we get started, I want to talk to you about a couple of things, but we've just had a phone call off air and someone says that the Erringbone Primary School has been boarded up for a few years. They want to know why some of that, certainly for short-term homelessness, couldn't be opened up.
Yeah, I agree.
Does anybody know about it, why it's still just sitting there?
Well, there's a couple of places. There's also the hospital out at, Warburton, places like that, that could be used.
Yeah, we just had someone ring and say, well, I don't see why they can't be used because they're just sitting there. Anyway, you can maybe mention that to Heidi and maybe she could sort of push it along and see why they can. They're not suggesting that it's good for housing forever and a day, but it certainly would be able to put some people up overnight. But I want to talk to you about about to run a homeless drop-in centre, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yep. We've taken over the space at 19 Hutchison Street in Lilydale, which used to be the CIS op shop. And we're turning that into a space that is going to be a safe space for anyone who wants to come inside. There'll be free tea and coffee. There'll be a shower, an accessible shower. So if you're in a wheelchair, you can use it as well. Accessible toilet, laundry. Hopefully we'll have a computer set up for people to use. There'll be lockers. And it'll just be a place where people can get off the street, but also get resources and a place to sort of energize themselves.
Neil, how often will it be open?
Well, at the moment, we're going to be open Monday to Friday, 10 to 6, except for Wednesdays. Right. And then other times by events and stuff like that. If we get more volunteers, then we'll be open not longer. But at the moment, that's what we'll be doing.
Yep, that sounds a terrific idea. So there'll be someone there to help them sort of, fill out forms that they've got to do and all that sort of stuff, as well as, being able to get a tea and a coffee.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got a meeting room if it's a space place that's away from offices that people could go and have a catch up with someone from Anchor or from any other agencies too. So, it's just a resource centre basically for anyone who's homeless or experiencing homelessness.
Neil, is that open yet, or is it about to open?
Yeah, it's about to open. We're still battling sort of getting it fixed up. We won't have the shower and the accessible toilet in probably until the end of the year. Right. And the laundry's going in hopefully within the next month. But it's slowly getting there. We're sort of just battling costs and trying to find some funds to finish a couple of the things.
Like if a person comes in homeless, apart from being able to get a free tea and coffee and talk to someone and I guess social chat as well, they'll be able to wash their clothes while they're there as well, will they?
That's right, yep. And there'll be food there as well. So if anyone needs a feed, they're able to come in and get something to eat.
Because, Neil, apart from this drop-in centre, as I understand it, your group already does have food available or does cater for food on some days during the week, don't they? Am I right on that?
Yeah, we put on a lunch on Wednesdays down here at Melbourne Park. Yep. And the idea of that, we've been doing that now for 10 years, and the idea of that is that it's a catalyst to get people together. Yep. And it works where we started off predominantly working with people who were experiencing homelessness, and now we get a bit of a mixture of people who are actually homeless or at risk of homelessness, and just people in the community who want a free feed and want to catch up with everyone. So Neil, it's become more of a community.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across. Neil, one of the things that I talk about a lot on this program is social isolation, that, people sit in their homes and they don't go out. And that's going to, all the reports I've read, that's going to be one of the biggest killers in the future if we don't do something about it. And I guess
It's homeless week, but it's also loneliness week this week.
I was just going to say to you, the homeless would, in a lot of ways, would even suffer worse, wouldn't they? Because very often they sleep under bridges and all that by themselves, don't they?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So, a lot of people who are. It is quite a symptom of homelessness. Yeah.
Yeah, so they get the double whammy. Apart from the fact that they're living in very poor conditions, social isolation can, and a lot of people spend time on their mobiles and their iPads and all that, but a lot of these homeless people don't have those facilities either, do they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, often it's a case of they can't afford or they get their things stolen. I mean, that happens quite a lot too. We've we work with guys who often get their phones stolen or their clothes stolen.
Neil, apart from that, they'd be fairly vulnerable too, sleeping out in parks and under bridges too, wouldn't they? They'd be vulnerable to anybody.
Oh, they're extremely vulnerable. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we say we have got hidden homelessness out here, because people don't. It's very hard for people to find anyone who's sleeping homeless, because they're not very blatant like the city.
Yep.
We don't have people sleeping in doorways and things like that, whereas we have people sleeping in the bush. They sleep in all sorts of areas that are hidden and away from prying eyes, and that's for safety reasons. Sad. And for the stigma associated with it.
I was going to say that. I guess there is a stigma, and I was talking to Heidi about this before. Hopefully a lot of it's changing, but, I mean, a lot of, you go back 20 years, if you saw a homeless person, people would just sort of say, oh, it's their own fault, wouldn't they?
That's right, yeah. I mean, we need to get it so that it's comfortable to talk about and it's not stigmatised. And that's how, you know, you think about it, that's how mental health used to be.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely. Yep.
And that's what we need to do with homelessness and stuff like that.
Neil, look, I've got to take a break. You know what this is all about. Ads pop in and all that sort of stuff. So I've just got to take a quick break. When I come back, I wouldn't mind talking to Kate, if you could get her available for me, please.
She's here now too.
All right, tell her I'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where it's 18 minutes to 1, 16 degrees. Just a reminder, at 1 o'clock, straight after 1 o'clock news, I'll be talking to our private guest investigator, Pete. He went away with some homework, and we've got a few questions for him. But we're going to talk to Kate now, and Kate's with the Housing Action Group. How are you, Kate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well too, thank you. Now, obviously you're part of today down there in the park down in Lilydale. So
yes.
I guess what part does the Housing Action Group play in this part of the homelessness?
Okay. Yarra Rangers Housing Action Group is a group of people from agencies and individuals who have concerns in regard to homelessness and the need for affordable housing. And we've been working together as a group now for coming up 12 years. We don't provide any housing. We're just a voluntary group. However, we feel we have a responsibility to raise the issues of the need for affordable long-term housing, to have some crisis accommodation, to work with groups to inform people that we have housing issues out in the Yarra Valley and surrounding areas.
So are you more of an advocacy group?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, because I'm a strong believer that somebody has to be advocating for people in need, for people who need the housing.
Well, because very often they can't themselves, can they?
Precisely, precisely. So, you know, we, over the years, our little group has spoken with politicians, local government, community organisations, have written letters to the powers that be and said, well, look, we need more services out here. And I think one of the big issues for being out of the city area is people don't see our homeless people like they do if you're walking around the city or the very inner suburbs. And people don't realise that there are people sleeping in tents off the Warby Trail, or, you know, under bridges here and there, or in footy grounds and parks, because we just don't see them.
Kate, could I just ask you, do you think there's a better understanding of the problem now than what there was, say, 5 years ago? On all levels, both within... Now, this is not a political show, so I'm not here to have a shot at politics. I'm talking about both sides of politics, but also amongst the average, what I would call the average population, Mr. and Mrs. Average. Do they understand now better than they did 20 years ago?
I think on one level they do, because they're finding that their adult kids can't afford to buy houses or... move out of home, like, you know, the kids can't turn 21 or whatever and think, oh, I'll go and rent a flat, because they're not available. But I don't necessarily think people understand very much the real issue of homelessness. And as an example of that, I'm also part of the Jim Fuller Community House Group. And we have two rooming houses in Mirrabark for over 55s.
Yep.
And we've had one, which we run for men, for 30-odd years. And 5 years ago, we opened up another one, which was an old convent owned by the Catholic Archdiocese, and we renovated it, and we accommodate older women there, right?
They told me that that's growing at a fairly big rate,
right? Absolutely. Our rooming house accommodates 8 women, but we could fill at least another rooming house. We get lots of calls, and we're just a voluntary group.
Yep.
We get lots of calls from all over Victoria for older women needing accommodation.
Do you know why, Kate? Is there a reason why?
Oh, a lot of it is relationship breakdowns.
Yep.
A lot of it is, you know, their kids have grown up and left, and the woman who may have been in a violent situation for 35, 40 years can't take it anymore.
Well, and they don't have to.
That's right.
Yep.
But they have no money. They've been the housewife, so they have no superannuation. They've been out of the workforce. They don't have a rental history. They can't get private rental. All they've got is a pension.
Yep.
And it's heartbreaking when a woman comes to us and she's late 60s and she's got the clothes she's standing in a couple of placky bags.
Terrible, isn't it?
And it's of course, horrible.
And unfortunately, and I know I'm generalising here, but often the guy can take up with a younger woman, so the older lady doesn't have those opportunities. I know that's a generalisation.
I know, but you're right.
Yep.
You're right. And what I have found over my 50 years working in the field is that very often the woman has been the homemaker.
Yep.
So, again, you know, no job history or whatever. Husband has controlled all the finances.
Yep.
He has met a younger woman and he has taken all the money out of the bank and remortgaged the house. So when he takes off with his new partner, the wife is left with nothing.
That's sad. Kate, look, I've got to take a break. Look, I'd love it if you could give your details to Heidi, your contact details, and send it to me. I'd like to do a session just with yourself talking about this.
Oh, look, I'm quite happy to do that.
Well, if you could just give it to Kate and ask her to text them to me, and I'll get you in the next couple of months and we'll have a real good talk. I've got to take a break. When I come back, could you have Heidi there, please? I'd like to just finish up with Heidi.
All right. Okay.
Thanks,
Thank
Kate.
You.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye. We're all going on a summer holiday. No more working for a week or two. Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you. For a week or two. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true. The sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true. For me and you.
Just a reminder, after 1 o'clock news, we'll have our private investigator to come along and tell us what he's been up to, and he's got some homework to do. But I just want to talk to Heidi again. Heidi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Heidi, we've just had a phone call off air, which I told Neil about, saying that the Yellingbone Primary School has been boarded up for quite some time. Now, they're not suggesting their answer's long-term, but they're wondering why some of those facilities can't be turned over to organisations like yourself.
Look, we get asked this question all the time. because there is so many vacant properties. And, I mean, I think we heard on the media there was about a million vacant properties across Australia. And in fact, I have been talking to some people recently that have got a really fabulous kind of facility, a bit like the school would be and so forth. Our problem is that to get them up to a standard...
I knew you were going to say that.
...acceptable by local government. And look, to be fair, it's around hygiene, it's around fire, safety, et cetera. So it's real, but it is frustrating that it's difficult to do that. I do know that, I mean, you would be aware of Stable One, the winter shelter, that actually through the winter months provides one night of a sleep. So it goes, it's actually a conglomeration or a consortium of churches. And what they do is that they go rotate around the churches and they have little beds and they cook, that people get a meal, and it's for one night. And I've got to say, for the people that we see and we find in rough sleeping, it's a godsend in winter. And they have used their churches, but they've actually had to do stuff to their churches, spend some money in order for it to be acceptable to the council. So it can be done, but it's not easy.
No.
Yeah. It is frustrating.
I've got to ask you, you've got your lunch on down there today. How's it going? Have you got plenty of people down there?
Yeah, we have. I can see plenty of people over the road. As I said, I'm over the road because the generator was being a bit noisy.
Yep.
I can see lots of faces over there and I can hear lots of chatting and so forth. So, look, it's just to bring people together, really, not to have a sort of a function where people got spoken at, you know, by the likes of myself.
Yep.
It was to just bring people together. And we've got some material aid out there so people can take, you know, things that they need, towels or sheets or whatever, and with lots of nice food. So, you know, it's just giving back to our community.
And I was just saying to Neil before too that one of the biggest problems that we've got in society, pardon me, is social isolation. And it must be 10 times worse for people that are homeless because they don't live in good places. Yep. They're under bridges and in parks.
Yep.
And very often they must get shunned down the street. So it's great to be able for them to get out and, if nothing else, just to meet some other people.
Yeah. That's right. And it is all about dignity, isn't it? It's
all about
us feeling like we have our own dignity.
Yep.
And when you don't have dignity, and this is why people get really frightened about end of life and illnesses or whatever, they don't want to lose their dignity and their independence. And I think that's such an important human emotion. And to feel like you belong. And I think a lot of people who find themselves in homelessness, they may have had families, they might have had a community, they might have known people, but all of a sudden they don't belong anymore. No one wants to know them.
And we were just talking to Kate, I don't know if you heard part of that interview, we were talking about the older lady who may have had the children, husband's taken all the money, shot off with a younger woman. Apart from losing the dignity, she must lose all her friends and all of a sudden, like, what happens?
Yes. Look, it's an absolute travesty that our older women are not being, cared for. They're the ones who have brought up the children. Yep. They're the ones who have done the part-time work and they've been on the volunteer committees, all that stuff.
Yep.
But they've not necessarily worked in the workforce.
So no superannuation.
Exactly. So, you know, they just assume, you know, women who are living quite middle-class lives think, oh, well, you know, half of this will be enough for me to buy like a unit, a small unit. And then they find, well, no, it's not. There's multiple mortgages on the property. You know, there's things that they didn't know. And it is the fastest growing cohort of
people becoming homeless. Yeah, Kate was saying that. It's a big, and I'll actually, she'll give you her details, and I'll get you to fax them to me because I'd like to do an interview just about that because I didn't realise it was quite so bad. I mean, I hear some scumbag blokes about what they've been up to, but I didn't realise it was such a big, big problem.
No, it really is. And I think there's two things happening. One is that divorce and the financial side of it, but the other thing is that many of these women have been subject to family violence for many, many years and coercion or whatever, and they thought, you know what, the kids are grown up now, they're independent, that's it, I've had enough. And they leave.
And you can understand that.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's really such a sad indictment. We, you know, when you think of other cultures, how, you know, older people are celebrated and looked up yep. to, and, you know, the culture is to look after them and look up to them, and they've got wisdom. We're not very good with our aging people, you know, in our culture.
No, well,
it's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, some of the ones overseas, they look after them like they're just part of everything, aren't they? But
they
out
are,
here,
they are.
Seems to be a case of saying, oh, well, they're past their use by date.
Exactly, you know? Exactly, exactly. And you go over there and be somewhere different to us. I think it's an absolute travesty of our culture, actually. Yep. It's the way we are. We sort of separate out children, separate out, you know, the working adults, and then separate out the people that are not working and older.
And we look upon them as a bit of a drag.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. But you talk to... I'm fascinated talking to these much older people, the lives they've had.
Yeah.
You go, wow, you saw this, you saw that. I think they need to be cherished and celebrated. Anyway.
No worries. Look, thanks, Heidi. And
no worries.
Thanks
no
for
worries.
Teeing up both Neil and Kate.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
terrific.
Yeah.
I hope it's a real success down there today, and we wish you well, and we'll be talking in the next couple of months.
Yes, great. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your listeners.
Always happy, and we'll certainly talk to Kate sometime in the very near future.
We will. Yes.
Thanks, Heidi.
Okay.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.